We have been looking at Psalms of Ascent, or Pilgrim Songs, or as I'm calling them, Songs for the Road, which, in this time of year is probably very, very fitting, as some of you have been on the road and traveling, and some of our people are this weekend as well. But we're taking it beyond just kind of a temporary pilgrimage. We're using this, and I think it's meant to be that used this way, as a metaphor for life. So our lives are like a pilgrimage. They are like a journey. And so these Psalms, 120 to 134, are a metaphor for the Christian life. And each step of the way, as we're listening, and as the pilgrims originally would have sung these psalms together on the way to Jerusalem, they're learning some things. They're learning about God. They're learning about what it means to be the people of God. They're learning about life. And we don't usually use the word pilgrim for ourselves, but we often use the word disciple. So the word disciple, the basic meaning of that is just learner. So we're apprenticed to Jesus, and we're wanting to learn what it means to live our lives like he would live them. But if you didn't know already, I'm going to break some news to you. This journey is not always easy. So this may be the first time you've thought about that, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it's challenging. The road isn't always smooth. It's like here. It seems like it's all uphill. That's the way I thought when I first came from the prairies, is there are no downhills here. It's all uphill. And so that's the way it feels sometimes in life. And discipleship, to be a follower of Jesus, sometimes is hazardous, right? Sometimes it's challenging. But one of the things that I appreciate about this journey is, and I think we have a hard time with this concept, it's not an individualistic pursuit. We're not traveling on our own. We're not doing this pilgrimage by ourselves. And we need to learn what it means to travel together and to support one another, because we will need each other somewhere along the line. You're going to need someone to encourage you, to support you, to pray for you, to challenge you. And so that's one of the reasons why over the last number of weeks we've had people up here. We're not doing it this Sunday, but we'll continue to do this. And I've asked them some journey questions, I'm calling them, some things about what has helped them in this journey of following Christ. And so we're going to keep doing that, because we need to learn from each other and support one another. So that's part of it. We're learners in this journey, in this pilgrimage, and it's not just aimless wandering, although it may feel like that sometimes. We're going somewhere. We're heading somewhere. And we've been invited on this journey by God, and our goal is him. He is the goal of our journey. He's our source of strength along the way. And sometimes one of the interesting things about this process, and I think it probably worked this way for the people of Israel as they went three times a year to Jerusalem and sung the pilgrim songs on the way, is that even if it was the first time they sung them or the 50th time they sung them, sometimes you have to go back to basics and relearn some things you forget. Or we stop doing the things that we knew we should do, and so we have to again be reminded of who we are and what we're about and who God is. So sometimes we need a reminder. So I'm going to give you a reminder. Here's a quick review if you've been away. This is the fifth one in this series. We're going to just touch really quick on all of the other ones first. So the first thing you got to do, right, if you're going to go on a trip, is you have to, grab the kids, if you have kids. Grab your husband or wife and granny and grandpa, and jump in the car and get on the road and go, right? You have to make a decision that you're going to go somewhere. So Psalm 120 is the start of this journey. And it talks about, in one part, where the psalmist says, too long have I lived there in this place among people who are just caught up in conflict. And he says, it's time, I think the sense of that is that I'm restless. This is not who I am. It's not where I'm meant to be. I need to get moving. And so there needs to be a point in our lives where we say, it's time to get moving. I can't just stay here doing the same things over and over again and expect that something different will happen. So I'm going to have to do something new. And so we call that repentance. It's a turning around and going God's way. And we learn at the beginning of this journey is that we can call out to God. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. So one of the first things that you learn as a disciple of Christ, or you should learn, is how to pray. And we hope that as we journey, prayer becomes a lot more natural to us, natural as breathing. Psalm 121. As we go along this journey, we're finding out how we should look, what we should look at and where we should look. So we're learning to take our eyes off our troubles. It's easy to keep them on our troubles and lift our eyes up above that. And then at one point or another, faith asks the question, where does my help come from? And then hopefully the answer of faith is, my help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, Psalm 121, 1 and 2. Because sadly, oftentimes we look everywhere else but there. But as we journey, we're starting to build up some spiritual muscles. Psalm 122, we're continuing to journey together, and now we're learning not only where to look and how to pray, but how to worship. And so Psalm 122, 1, we're finding our joy and our peace and our sense of security in the presence of other worshipers, but also in the presence of God. We find that in his presence is our peace. And so that word peace itself is the word shalom for wholeness. Well, we call it Lakeside our journey to wholeness in Christ. That's why we call it that. That this is what God is wanting to do in your life and in my life, to restore us to wholeness, to heal our brokenness, to bring forgiveness to the areas where we need forgiveness. And so we're learning what it means to be worshipers and what it means to be people of peace. And so we go out into our community because there's a huge need in this city, anywhere you go in this world, for peace. And so we go into the city, we become people of peace, and as we receive that peace, the peace of God, the peace with God, we share that with others. Psalm 123, we lift our eyes even higher, and we recognize that God is the King enthroned in heaven, and that we are dependent on him. In fact, we're learning what it means to be servants of the Most High God. And so we continue this journey. Now in this psalm, as we started out, as Jim read, there's this phrase, and it's spoken once, if the Lord had not been on our side. And then there's a pause, and the speaker says, well, let Israel say. So let's try it again. One of these responsive reading kind of things, right? So he says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side. And so we need to drill that into our heads. When I was looking at this psalm over the summer during my sabbatical, I felt a little uncomfortable with it first, because sometimes people use that phrase and say, God is on my side. Right? You ever heard that? God is on my side. And some of the things that they say that God is on their side for don't seem to fit with God somehow. And so God is on our side as we slaughter you. God is on my side because God agrees with my politics. God is on my side because I'm white and you're black. Or I'm white and you're First Nations. God is on my side because I'm a fan of the Riders and you're a fan of the Eskimos. Well, that might be a little closer, I think. Sorry, I forgot Adam's here. But sometimes the strangest things we say, God is on my side, and the implication is he's not on yours. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not that, just in case you thought that's where I was going with this, that's not what we're talking about. The psalm is just filled, I don't know if you caught that when Jim read the psalm, filled with these really graphic images. When he's talking about the opposition that he's faced when David writes this, he uses these images of wild animals, you could just picture the fangs and the talons and trying to rip into him and swallow him whole, and floodwaters coming in and engulfing him and just burying them in water. Absolutely overwhelming them. Be a good psalm for people in Texas and a few other places today, right? So it's just such a powerful image. And so he says, if the Lord had not been on our side. So, I was thinking about that. Sometimes we engage in what ifs, right? We think about what if? And usually it's kind of like I'm anticipating something. I'm worrying. I'm anxious about something. So what if this happens or that happens or doesn't happen? What if I'm making a bad choice? Am I going to ruin my life? What if I went on a different path than the one that I'm on today? What if? All of those what ifs. And so behind those what ifs and those kinds of what ifs is anxiety and is worry, and sometimes it's regret. And so that, again, is not what we're talking about here. This is a different kind of what if. That's an anticipating what might or might not happen in the future. This is a what if of looking back. This is hindsight, not in advance. So we're looking back and seeing what and thinking about what would life be like if God was not on our side. What would life be like if God was not involved in our lives? What would life be like if God didn't care about us? What would life be like if God didn't exist? If we're just alone in this world, we're on our own, left our own devices, what would life be like? It's not a real pretty picture if you take the words of this psalm. It's not a pretty picture. So the what if of this psalm, when he says, if the Lord had not been on our side, is not one of fear and anxiety and worry and regrets. Because the fact is that God has not left us alone on our own to our own devices. We aren't left without help. This is a psalm that looks back and looks at all of the things that at the time looked absolutely overwhelming and finds that even in the midst of those things, God had been on our side. And so it's a testimony not just of individuals but of a people that have found through trials and through testing these things that God actually can be trusted. He has been with them. He has never abandoned them. In fact, he uses this image of like a bird trapped in a snare and escaping and going free. And so they say again, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. That's verse 8. And this isn't just something to put on the bumper of your truck, right? My help is in the name of the Lord. This is something that has been tested through trial. It's gone through the floods. It's gone through the fires. Come out the other end and say, yes, the Lord has been with me through that time. My help is in the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Sometimes people say, well, you know, Christians are just kind of sheltered, right? They live in this safe little Christian bubble where, you know, we think everything is fine, and now that we're a Christian, it's all going to go smooth, and we paste on our Christian smiles, and we pretend, right? That we just are just so naive as Christians, and actually, it's not true. I mean, if you look at Scripture, if you read Scripture, you know, the Psalms especially, are just brutally honest about life. There's joy in it, there's peace in it, there's comfort, there's strength, but there's also some really, really hard times sometimes in life. And yet, if God had not been with us, so we're not naive, we're not sheltered. If anybody should be clear about the challenges of life, it should be us. So Eugene Peterson puts it this way. Let's put that up on the screen, Evan, if you would. We speak our words of praise in a world that is hellish. We sing our songs of victory in a world where things get messy. We live our lives of joy among people who neither understand nor encourage us. But the content of our lives is God, not humanity. We're not scavenging in the dark alleys of the world, poking in its garbage cans for a bare subsistence. We're traveling in the light toward God, who is rich in mercy and strong to save. It is Christ, not culture, who defines our lives. It is the help we experience, not the hazards we risk, that shape our days. So the real focus of this psalm is not the overwhelming floods. It's not the teeth of the animals that are trying to tear us apart. It is the help that we find in God. We're not naive about those things, but we believe that we're not alone in this world. And so the person who can speak confidently these words, if the Lord had not been on our side, who cannot imagine living in a world without God, a God who cares for them and is with them, even in times when it feels like we're devastated, we're going to be torn apart, we're just overwhelmed. But as the people gathered year after year and sang this song, they would remind themselves as they looked backwards at the times when God had been there with them. And they would say to each other, if the Lord had not been on our side. And so they defined themselves as a people who had been saved, who had been delivered from so many things. They'd been sprung from the trap the hunter was trying to entrap them, and they'd been set free by God. And so they lift up their voices together and they say, "Praise be to the Lord." Author Anne Lamott writes that there are three moods to prayer, three words that she uses. So the first one is help. So if you want to know how to pray, here's a really simple way to pray. If you have struggle with pray, one word, help. The second one is thanks. And the third one is wow. So help, thanks, and wow. Okay? So along the way, there are times when you will need to say help. And there are times when you'll need to ask the question, whether directly to God or to each other, where does my help come from? And hopefully you come to the point, maybe not immediately, but hopefully you come to the place where you can say with confidence, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Because the very name of Jesus means the Lord saves in Hebrew. That's what his name says. So we can go, Lord, help. When we call out the name of Jesus, we're calling out to him to deliver us. So that's the first word in prayer that you need to remember, is just that very simple word, help. The second one is thanks. So as we look at our lives, we recognize the ways that God has blessed us, the times that we've received his mercy and his love. The very name of the Lord in this scripture, in this psalm, is the covenant name of God, Yahweh, which means it's a covenant relationship between his people and their God. And God is always faithful to his promises. And so we say thanks to him. And so he's been with us. Isaiah, the prophet, uses that name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so even when we, as the psalmist in Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Okay? So that's thanks, or help, thanks, and then the third one is wow. So if you had not been on our side, this is the backward look. As you look at your life, there are situations, usually, if you get old enough, where you recognize that, you know, if God hadn't been there for me, I don't know what would happen. If God hadn't been there for me, I don't know where I would be. I would be absolutely overwhelmed, destroyed. I wouldn't be here. But we aren't destroyed. It's important to tell those stories. I'm not going to go into the details here. Some of you know them. But, you know, Vera and I have been going through, it's been a tough year. And it's been a tough week. This week has been a really tough week. So, I mean, sometimes I would tend to minimize these things, right? I would tend, if you ask me, say, how was your week? I'll say, fine. Yeah, it's great. I'm managing just fine. It's not that bad, right? Now, sometimes I think you have to say, you know what? I felt like there was something trying to swallow me whole. I felt like there was something trying to overwhelm me. I felt like I'm treading water. The water's up to here. And I'm not sure if I can keep my head above water. There are moments like that. So it's probably actually helpful to actually say it out loud to each other, to admit it. Because if we don't, if we sort of minimize it and say, and I know all of us have had these tough experiences, and we minimize them in hindsight and say, well, it wasn't that bad. Sometimes it's good to say, yeah, that was pretty hellish. That was pretty horrendous. That was awfully painful. There were moments when I didn't know if God existed, if he cared about me, if I was going to make it out alive. You know, there are moments like that sometimes in our life. And I think when we minimize it and say, oh, that wasn't so bad, we actually also minimize what God has done in our life in rescuing us. So Martin Luther the Reformer, wrote this, and he was writing it about this psalm, Psalm 124, the first couple of verses. And he writes, if it had not been the Lord, and then it's repeated, this repetition is not in vain. For while we are in danger, our fear is without measure. But when it is once passed, we imagine it to have been less than it was indeed. And this is the delusion of Satan, to diminish and obscure the grace of God. David, therefore, with this repetition, stirs up the people to more thankfulness unto God for his gracious deliverance, and amplifies the dangers when they had passed. By this we are taught how to think of our troubles and afflictions past, lest the sense and feeling of God's grace vanish out of our minds. So that's the power of that, recalling those stories, and then again saying, yeah, this was bad, this was hard, it was brutal, but if the Lord had not been with us, So God's people have always been a people who have recognized God's presence, his gracious deliverance along the way, and have recognized that if not for God, we would have been crushed, overwhelmed. Somehow we're still here. God is with us. He is our help. The Apostle Paul says, if God is with us, then who can be against us? So if we have that kind of an attitude where we're grateful for what God has done in the past, we can face what's coming in the future. Some of you have been part of our Freedom Session ministry over the years, and you've recognized that these overwhelming things, these things that can trip us up and trap us and bind us up and hurt us again and again, are not always the things out there, right? They're not always kind of the outside forces or somebody coming against us. Sometimes it's in here. Sometimes it's in us. The things that are in us that trip us up, the sin that so easily entangles us, the scriptures say. And so, again, God can be our help and wants to be your help in getting free of those things. He is your Savior and deliverer and healer. If the Lord had not been on our side, we'd have to carry those things the rest of our lives. It's not what he wants for us. He wants us to be free. So Psalm 124 is all about a people singing songs of deliverance. So what's your story? Where have you seen his gracious hand? Of deliverance, of forgiveness, of healing, of strength, of comfort, of hope, of joy, even in the middle of the bad stuff. So, we're in a few minutes. I want you to share these stories because it's important to share them, right? So, Evan, just put the question up if you could, please, on the screen. So this is a question. We're going to sing for a bit, and then we're going to ask this question of each other. You don't have to answer it. We're not going to put you on the spot if you'd rather not. But do you have a story that goes like this? If the Lord had not, and you can fill in the blanks, right? If the Lord had not, okay, so we'll do that. I'm just giving you some warning. You'll get into groups of two or three and talk about that. So worship team, you want to come lead us? Let me pray. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the ways that even in the moment, sometimes we can't see it, but looking back, we can. We can see your hand. We can see your grace and mercy. You can see the loving ways that you have ministered to us and given us strength when we had none at all of our own. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness today and always. And Lord, help us again to remember those times clearly where you have been our deliverer, where you have rescued us, comforted us, strengthened us, healed us, set us free. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.